take our Bibles tonight, go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and also if you find your place there, go to Hebrews chapter 13. As I told you this morning, I'm going to preach a message tonight that I don't think I've ever preached this type of message. And I want you to know before I preach this message that there's not a conspiracy, okay? I was told to preach this message, but it wasn't from pastor, it was from God, okay? So I want you to understand that, okay? And I want to give you something tonight that's going to help. Pastor has no idea I'm preaching this message, I promise you. He didn't hint toward this. He never does that, okay? Man of God gets his messages from the Lord, and that's where his messages come from. And I have no doubt this is Holy Spirit inspires. I was studying for this message yesterday. I was amazed at how the Holy Spirit just put this all together. So this is from God tonight. So I want you to give me your heart tonight. And so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's all stand when we find our place. I'm going to read two verses here, then we're going to Hebrews 13 and read two verses. Bible says in verse 17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And then in Hebrews chapter 13, if you'll flip over there, we're going to read two verses from this chapter. First of all, verse 7, the Bible says this, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Once again, Lord, we open your word, and I pray that you'd speak to us through it. God, we need you, Lord, tonight. And help us, Lord, as we look at this important thing that you put in the Word of God, Lord, that we would allow it to help us, Lord, to have the right perspective, Lord, and bless us, we pray. Bless the preaching tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The church is an amazing thing. The word church, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it means, the word church simply means a called out assembly. For the first 2/3 of this earth's history, the church was non-existent. God's plan for the first 4,000 years of human history on this planet was working through individuals, which eventually led to the nation of Israel. Yet God, in his wisdom, decided to take a break from Israel as being the primary focus of his attention, and beginning with the birth of his son on this earth, began an institution called the church. Now let me say this, the church does not replace the nation of Israel. Okay, that's called replacement theology, all right? God is not done with his chosen people. God has simply decided to take a break from his chosen people and when he instituted the church age, but very soon God will turn his focus back to the nation of Israel. And that will all happen during the tribulation period. But right now, we're living in the church age. Throughout almost its 2,000 years of existence now, the church has been used by God to accomplish some amazing things. Whether you believe the church began at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, or whether you believe the church started when Jesus called to him his 12 disciples, the gospel fire began in Jerusalem and quickly began to spread from there. In the book of Acts, so we learn that it was through Peter that the gospel was given to Cornelius, the first Gentile. And then the apostle Paul, as he began his missionary journeys to the regions of Cyprus, Asia Minor, Macedonia, Greece, and Rome. Paul and Peter, of course, were not the only ones. James took the gospel to Spain, Thomas to India, Philip to France, Matthias to Ethiopia, Thaddeus to Syria, Simon the Zealot to Persia. Now here we are, some 2,000 years removed from our founding by Jesus himself, still charged with the same command he gave to those disciples in Matthew 28. We read it this morning. Let's read it again. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God's plan for the church hasn't changed. God's orders for the church were simple. Evangelize the world with the gospel. That was the plan of the church. Sad to say, the church hasn't reached its goal. We've been at it for 2,000 years, but yet we haven't quite reached the world with the gospel. By the way, during the tribulation period, there's a reason God calls 144,000 witnesses. The purpose of that is to evangelize the world with the gospel. By the way, they do it. In just a few short months, 144,000 people evangelize the world with the gospel. Why is the church in 2,000 years haven't accomplished that? Obviously, some churches are making a difference. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we have soul winning programs. But may I say, not nearly enough is the true church is busy spreading the gospel. But never forget that that is God's orders for the church. God's ordinances for the church are baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we practice both of those here. Believers' baptism was established by Christ, so was the Lord's Supper. God's offices for the church was the pastor and deacons. And it's about this office of pastor that I want to give you some things tonight that's going to help us. And I want to preach a message tonight entitled this, A Church Member's Responsibility to Their Pastor. A church member's responsibility to their pastor. I'm going to give you some Bible truths, then I want to talk to you in a very practical way about something that we're going to see about doing here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Let me give you some very practical truths. Number one is this, and I think we understand this, but we just need to establish some things. Number one, the pastor is the leader of the church. Okay, the pastor is the leader of the church. Let me read a couple verses to you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Paul said this, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. Now when God began to establish the church, God used men like Apostle Paul to go through and establish churches. Paul's the one that established his church. And Paul was the one that until this church got at the ground kind of oversaw the church, okay? Now, he wasn't there for the whole time as the pastor, but for a while he was because he started the church. And Paul said this, you need to be a follower of me. Now, in any organization, there is a mass of members. Now, one of the greatest weaknesses of people today is that so many people are trained to be a good follower. Now understand something, there's nothing undignified about being a follower, okay? Nothing undignified about that. In fact, a follower is just as important as a leader, okay? If everybody was a leader, there'd be no one to follow. By the way, this makes sense in areas that we know and we understand. For example, athletic contests are won by athletes who know how to follow and are trained to do so. We say we believe in majority rule, and that's right. By the way, we live in a republic, majority rules. Okay, we get a vote. The majority gets to pick. However, majority rule does not mean majority opinion. Following the majority opinion is anarchy. Following majority rule is democracy. We choose the people to lead us and make important decisions for us. An athletic team has a captain who has been chosen by that team to be their captain who calls the plays. The captain may be chosen by the team, is chosen by the team, and is the one that is designated to make the plays. Think about this for a minute, okay? Let's just use football as an example, all right? Football next to golf is my favorite sport, all right? I love football, and I like playing it. I like watching it. I like getting involved in it, okay? But let me tell you something about football. Football, if you're going to be a good football team, you've got to be just that. You got to be a team. Okay, just a good quarterback is not going to win a championship. Okay, now, hey, a quarterback's important, and in our day and age, a lot of emphasis is put on a quarterback. Let me tell you this, you can have the best quarterback in the world, but if you don't have a defense, and if you don't have an offensive line, your quarterback's not going to do anything. It's a team sport. I mean, could you imagine what it would be like if the quarterback got in the huddle and he started taking opinion of what plays should be ran? What do you think? You think we ought to pass to the receiver? What do you think? You think we ought to do a running play? What do you think? You think we ought to kick the ball? Let's all take a vote. That's not the way it works. No team would accomplish anything if that was the way that it was ran. You can't run a team that way. You can't run a nation that way. And let me say this, you can't run a church that way. God's plan for the church is for the church to decide who the pastor is going to be and then allow the pastor to be the leader of the church. That's God's plan. Now, there's three words in the Bible that deal with the same office. Let me give those words to you. First of all is the title pastor. The word pastor means shepherd, okay? Jesus is the good shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd, okay? The pastor is God's man and should be careful to protect his people from false doctrine and heresy as the shepherd protects the sheep from the wild beast as he fed them. And that's why the Bible gives the title to the man that leads a church as pastor. Not only that, in the Bible you find the term elder. Once again, these three words all signify the same office. The elder signifies experience and wisdom as the pastor guides his people with the decisions of life. Then you see the word bishop. The word bishop means overseer. A pastor is chosen by the people not to lead the church in majority opinion, but by wise leadership. He is to oversee the workings and have the final say in the matters of the church. Now, a pastor isn't to be a dictator. And Pastor Jerry has said this many, many times. No one gets to be God except God. There's no absolute authority, okay, except God. But if you have a wise pastor, let me say this, we do have a wise pastor, then we need to recognize the position of authority that God has given him as the pastor of our church. We need to recognize that. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, all right? But let me just make a few statements. First of all, understand this. God's plan isn't for deacons to control the pastor. Now, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we get that. We understand that. But may I say this, the majority of churches in this area, that right there would cause people to get up and walk out. Okay? It isn't a committee's job or an influential person with a large bank account's job to tell the pastor what to preach or what to do. And let me just say this because I just want to say it. If for dead sure ain't no loudmouth old biddy's job to try and run the man of God. Okay? And I know that may sound like, once again, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense here, but you'd be surprised what the case is in many churches around. The office of pastor is God-ordained and is his plan for the leadership of the church. That's God's plan. Sad to say, many men abuse the office. That's true. But may I say this, we have a man of God here who knows what it is to lead and deserves for the members of this congregation to follow his leadership. He's proven the fact that he can be followed. So the pastor is the leader of the church. Number two, everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. One of the verses we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, one of the things it says about him is this, for they watch for your souls. Now that word watch is interesting. You look it up and it means this. It means to be sleepless. It means to be awake. That's what it means. And I don't think it's a coincidence that men who are pastors don't sleep as well as they did before they were pastors. Okay, in fact, that the testimony of Pastor Ross Sr. when he retired, he said this, that is the first peaceful full night's night of rest I've had in many, many years. Because he no longer had the responsibility of being pastor. Now, I do know this, medical doctors have said that being a pastor is one of the most stressful jobs a person can have. Why all the sleeplessness? Why all the stress? Because a true pastor is watching for the souls of his people. Now, I'm thankful that I have a human representative of God here on this earth that is watching out for me and my family. That's why sometimes pastor has to preach things that are hard. That is why sometimes he has to call us in his office and tell us some things we don't necessarily like to hear. It isn't because he hates us. It isn't because he wants to make our lives miserable. It's because he's watching for our souls. Now, since there is someone out there whose job it is to watch out for my soul, I need a person like that in my life. And the truth of the matter is, every person needs a pastor in their life. Why do I need a pastor watching out for me? Okay? I've heard people say, well, I can take care of my own self. Well, first of all, that's nothing but pride to say something like that. Second of all, the truth of the matter is, not every person has the spiritual insight to watch for themselves like a pastor has. Because God gifts a pastor with special insight. Because a pastor is God called. It's a gift that God gives. You look back in the Old Testament, you look at men, we talked about Noah this morning, you look at men like Abraham and Moses. When God had a plan to be carried out, you know who God went to? God went to his man. And it was the job of the man of God to deliver and help the people of God with the plan of God. That's what God chose. Now, in New Testament times, praise the Lord, because Christ died, we don't have to have a priest. Okay, and by the way, a pastor isn't a priest. All of us, because of the priesthood of the believers, have direct access to God. You don't have to go through your pastor to get to God. Amen. And all of us have direct access. Pastor isn't the priest, but he is the one that God has given spiritual insight on how to lead the church and to watch for the people that God has put under his care. Okay? So everybody needs a pastor. Number three, and this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight, is this. Church members have certain responsibilities to their pastor. Now, pastors have responsibilities to their church members, but we're not talking about that tonight. We're going to talk about what our responsibilities are to our pastor. All right, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Pastor just taught through this, so I don't know. I was in Master Club. I didn't get to hear any of his teaching on this, so he may have touched on some of this. I don't know. But if so, then act like you didn't hear it, because we're going to talk about it again anyway. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read, first of all, verses 12 and 13. Here's what the Bible says. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And then in verse 25, it says this, brethren, pray for us. Now, there are several things that the scripture here commands that we as church members are to do for our pastor. Now, understand something, okay? This is just as good as, this is for me as it is for you, okay? I'm a member of this church like everyone here is, all right? So according to this passage, there's some things that we need to do, we're commanded to do, our responsibility to our pastor. The first thing it says is this, is we are to know him. Look what it says in verse 12. When we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over in the Lord and admonish you. To know him. Now, the word know, it means to be aware. It means to behold. It means to consider. It means to perceive. Now, as members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we should know our pastor. We should know the things he likes. We should know that he likes the Chicago Bears. Help us. We should know that he likes deer hunting. We should know that he likes to do certain things. Now, you should know these things. And by the way, you ought to know the things he likes. You ought to know the things he doesn't like. You ought to know that he doesn't like peas, all right? You ought to know that he doesn't like liberals, amen. You ought to know that he doesn't like cats, praise the Lord, okay? You ought to know when his birthday is. You ought to know when his wife's birthday is. You ought to know when his anniversary is. You ought to know the things that are important to him. Now, that word means that, but I also believe it has a deeper meaning. Not only should you know the things about his life, but you should also know the needs of his life. Okay, now remember, we're talking about our responsibility to our pastor. Okay, what every pastor needs, let me just say this, and I think this is true of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but let's make sure if we're not what we ought to be, we step it up in this area. What every pastor needs are some men who will watch out for their pastor and the needs of his life. I can't tell you, that means more to a pastor than anything. You know what a pastor's prayer request is? Give me some men. And not only that, give me some men, and he would never voice this to you, but every pastor needs and wants men who are watching out for the needs of his life. Men, it's our job to be aware of our pastor's needs. By the way, he does that for us. He says he watches for your soul, okay? You say, well, if he needs something, he'll tell us. Well, maybe, but probably not. Probably not. That's why he needs you, he needs us as men to keep an eye on the needs he may have. Okay, let me just make this real practical here, okay? When's the last time some of you men checked out the tires on his vehicle or his wife's vehicle to see if he needs new tires? You ever looked around, just simple observations? When's the last time that maybe you, and by the way, I'm not, he didn't tell me to say this, any of these things. These are just things that are from the Lord. But, just know things about his life. Be observant. Be proactive. Learn to pick up on things that he casually mentions that may be a potential need in his life. Learn to do that. Learn to have an ear for that. Okay? I learned to, when maybe he mentions, just kind of out passing mentions something. Train your ear to say, is that a need my pastor may have? And by the way, the Bible commands that, for us to know him. Not only that, the Bible commands for us to esteem him. Look at verse 13, and back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. That word esteem, it means to lead or to consider. Now don't miss the context of this verse. This verse literally means that those that are under the authority of a pastor are to be the ones that lead in above and beyond way in their love for their pastor. As church members, we're to set the example on how to love our pastor. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? By the way, you know whose responsibility it is? It's not another church's responsibility to love our pastor. It's our responsibility. I mean, hey, last time you checked, he's not getting much love from the people in the community. I mean, he may have some people that they appreciate him, but listen to me. The true love for their pastor needs to come from the members of the church. Oftentimes, we see it the other way around. Well, the pastor's job is the one that's supposed to lead in his love toward me, but not according to this scripture. It's our job to lead in our love toward him. Yes, sir. Because of the fact that our pastor has given himself to the work of the ministry, by the way, that includes loving and caring about us, then we are to be the ones that lead in a very high love towards him. How do you do that, I may ask? Well, remember something. Actions speak louder than words. I believe you ought to tell your preacher that you love and appreciate him, but words only mean so much. Actions speak louder than words. You can tell pastor all you want how much you love him, and by the way, you should. But more important than saying it with your mouth is saying it with a life that proves it. That's more important. Young people, don't tell me you love your pastor if you're sneaking around doing things you're not supposed to be doing. Because that's not proving your love towards your pastor. Okay? Church members, don't tell me you love your pastor if he comes and asks you to help out with something and you give him a hard time about it. Okay, that's not esteeming him. Okay? By the way, that verse, at the end of it, there's a promise, or there's a statement. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Let me say this. A church that is treating their pastor properly is a church that has some peace. Because it's a gift that God gives. All right? So we're to know him, we're to esteem him. Then the Bible says we're to pray for him. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. I think this goes without saying, but our pastor needs our prayers. Every person that goes to a good church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church has the crosshairs of the devil on their life. I promise you that's true. You go to this church, the devil doesn't like it. And because of that, he's going to try to do something to get you out of this church. He's working overtime on the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to cause you to leave this place. That's true for every church member, but let me say this. If that's true for every church member, that is doubly, triply, or even quadruply true for your pastor. I guarantee you right now, the devil has a plan in place, trying to implement that plan, him and his demonic hordes, that will try and take out our pastor of our church. I promise you that's true. Okay? Now what's gonna keep that back? What's gonna help our pastor from succumbing to these satanic attacks? Let me tell you what it's gonna be. It's gonna be our prayers. It's gonna be our prayers. Do you call out your pastor's name and his wife's name to the throne of grace every day? I guarantee he does you and your family. Don't you think we ought to reciprocate that back? Our pastor needs for us to pray for him. And I pray that's a habit. I pray that you teach your children to pray for their pastor. It's very important to pray for him. Not only that, the next thing the Bible says, our responsibility, flip over to Hebrews chapter 13, back to the second passage we read. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 7, here's the next command. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. The next command is for us to remember him. Now that word remember means exactly what you think it means. It means to exercise your memory. Exercise your memory. All right, now, this kind of goes along with what we talked about earlier, about keeping in mind when it comes to the needs of his life. But it also means some other things. When do I need to keep my pastor in mind? When do I need to remember him? Let me give you a couple areas. Number one, you ought to remember your pastor when he's being attacked by the devil. Okay, I just said it. The devil hates our church and hates our pastor. And as much as I don't necessarily like it, it's part of God's plan to allow the devil limited access to his servants. Part of God's plan. Go back and look at Job. God allowed it. Look at the Apostle Paul. God allowed it. Now, because of this, when your pastor is going through one of those times, remember that and be patient. Amen. Listen to me, folks. When your pastor is being attacked by the devil, that is not the time to go to him with some little boo-hoo or owie about your feelings being hurt. That's not the time to cut and run. Amen. Even if I thought I had a reason to leave a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I would never do it when my pastor was going through a hard time. Never. Even if I had a legitimate reason. In fact, I heard of a story one time of a man who took a job or had a job opportunity making twice the money in another state. Felt like it was the will of God. Counseled with his pastor. Had a church he was going to attend there. Right situation. But right before he moved, his pastor went through a tremendous trial. And because he loved his pastor so much, he put the job on hold and decided to stay put for a while because his pastor needed him and ended up forfeiting that job opportunity. But he did it enough because he loved his pastor. Now, folks, remember your pastor when he's being attacked by the devil. Sometimes you may know when he's being attacked. Sometimes you may not know when he's being attacked. But just remember what he's going through and show spiritual maturity. Number two, when do I need to keep my pastor in mind and remember him? When the devil's attacking you. When the devil attacks, folks, listen, that's not the time to quit and give up. Okay, sometimes, and I think it's Peter who says this, talks about don't think it strange when you face the fiery trials. Okay, listen, we're going to all face fiery trials. It's part of the Christian life. Just part of it. Okay, it's what you signed up for when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now, I want you to think about next time you go through a hard time, that's a fiery trial, how much your pastor loves you and is praying for you, and for a lot of reasons. But one of those reasons being for your pastor's sake, don't give up. Don't give up. Now, I'm not saying that ought to be the number one reason. I think the number one reason ought to be the fact that the love of Christ constrains us. Okay, but I think pretty far top of the list ought to be because your pastor loves you. Hey, you know what? He's seen enough people give up when times get tough. Don't let that be one of you. Don't let that be your testimony. Be one that he can count on to make it through no matter what the devil is attacking you with. All right, so remember him. All right, next, what's my next responsibility to my pastor is this. Verse 17, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Here it is. Obey and submit to him. Obey and submit to him. By the way, he didn't write that. I didn't write that. You know who wrote that? God wrote that. Obey and submit to him. Who gives the pastor the right to tell me the things I should do and shouldn't do? God. God. Now listen, pastor didn't put this in the Bible. God put it there. And I think that if he put it there, then you know what? He would expect us to put it into practice. Now let me tell you something about good leadership. Good leadership does not force people to follow them. That's not good leadership. Good leadership inspires people in such a way so that they want to follow them. Let me say that again. Good leadership does not force people to follow them. Good leadership inspires people in such a way as they want to follow them. And that is the kind of pastor we have. Now that being said, part of his job description, as we saw earlier, is overseer. And when it comes to the things of the church, he has the final say. Because of our human nature, we're not always going to agree with the decisions our pastor makes. That's human nature, okay? But as long as he's not violating Scripture, when we don't agree, we are to obey and submit. Obey and submit. Now, we do not have a dictator as a pastor, okay? He's not going to force. By the way, he won't even give you counsel unless you come and ask him. But if you come and ask him, you know what? He's going to shoot straight with you. And I'm going to just tell you this. If the man of God tells me I ought to be doing something, whether it's something I want to do or not, I'm going to listen to the man of God. Amen. Hey, if you trust him enough to put your membership here, then once you trust him enough to just let him be your pastor, and you don't agree with something he may tell you, simply do what it tells you anyway. Okay? By the way, the purpose of this isn't trying to enforce his agenda on your life. He's watching out for the flock. And by the way, the Bible tells us why we ought to obey and submit. Back in verse 17. We read the first part, for they watch for your soul, but listen to what it says here. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You realize when a church member stands before God, they're not responsible for other church members. They're not responsible for another church member. But when a pastor stands before God, he's got to give an account to God as the type of shepherd he was to the sheep. He's got to give an account for that. Okay? And that's why God puts high responsibility on a pastor, because he does have a lot of responsibility. And God puts high accountability on his responsibility. So that being said, don't give pastor a hard time when you don't like a decision he makes. Submit and obey. Submit and obey. I've heard, I think it was Brother Hightower said this years ago when he was here. He said this, even if the pastor made a decision, I think he was using his son as an example. Okay, even if my pastor made a decision about my son that I didn't necessarily agree with, and even maybe if the pastor was wrong, because of the damage it would do to my son if I bucked his authority, I'm going to back the pastor whether he was right or wrong. Now, once again, we have a pastor who's not a dictator. Okay, he's not going to sit there and force his will upon you. And I'm not saying he's never wrong. He may even tell you he's not ever wrong. But I'm going to tell you this, he's right way more times than he's wrong. Okay, and you're better off backing him and obeying and submitting to him. That's what the Scripture says. And then last of all, I want to show you one more thing. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We read this in our text. Flip back over there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17, Bible says this, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Now, first of all, before we look at what they're worthy of, look at the requirements. The first thing it says, they that rule well. That means to preside good and honestly. Do we have a pastor that rules well? Then the Bible says, they that labor in the word. That means to toil in the scripture. That means this, does he bring the goods? And you know what the answer to that is? Yes, he brings the goods. Then it says, not only laboring in word, but laboring in doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. Does he preach and lead in truth? And the answer to that is yes. Our pastor meets all of those requirements. He rules well, labors in the word, labors in doctrine. Now notice what it says here. It doesn't just say that the pastor is worthy of honor. It says that he's worthy of double honor. And this is the command that God gives us, is that we are to show him double honor. Now the word double, I think we know what that means, right? It means more than one. It means twofold. Now let me tell you what the word honor means, okay? It means, if you look it up, this is what it means. It means money paid. It means dignity. Now, I believe that the context of this verse teaches two things. It means, number one is this, a pastor who meets the qualifications of this verse should be paid well. That's what the scripture says, folks. I told you I didn't have an agenda tonight. I have no agenda whatsoever. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. 1 Timothy 5:18, the verse after verse 17, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Okay? Now, how do you know if we're taking care of our pastor the way we should? And by the way, I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church takes care of its pastoral staff. I believe that. Amen. But how do we know? I heard an evangelist say this one time. In fact, it was evangelist Dennis Coral. He was teaching about this, and I heard him say this. Okay? He was getting very specific here. Okay? What's that mean, double honor? Okay? Here's what Brother Coral said. That whatever the average salary of the man of the church is, that the pastor's salary should be double that. That's what the scripture says. Now, I don't necessarily, like I said, our church takes care of our pastoral staff. Praise God at that. Amen. No complaints whatsoever. But I'm just reading to you what the scripture says. By the way, if you're bristling at that, what I just said, why would you bristle at that? Why would that bother you? If that bothers you, I'm just saying, you got something wrong in your heart. I'm just saying. Okay? That's what the scripture says. That's what God says. Okay, once again, I believe the church takes care of the pastoral staff. But when it comes to the senior pastor, we need to make sure he is very well taken care of. Let me just say this, folks. You can't do too much for your pastor. You cannot do too much for your pastor. So that means a pastor who meets the qualifications should be paid well. It means that a pastor who meets the qualifications, this verse, should be showed the utmost respect and publicly honored. I believe that's what it means. So church, remember, responsibility to their pastor. Number one, we're to know him. We're to esteem him. We're to pray for him. We're to remember him. We're to obey and submit to him. We are to honor him.